Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Forging the Path. My name is Adam and it's election season. So I'm going to do what some of my friends have advised me not to do on this podcast. And I'm going to share some thoughts and advice for you as we head into November of an election year. And my wife and I, we're going to go do some early voting today in our village. And I want to talk about politics because policies matter. And policies matter because people matter. That's very clear from Scripture. It's very clear when you get to know the heart of God. People matter, therefore politics matter. And I love this quote by G.K. Chesterton. He's such a legend. I would encourage you, if you have not yet, to read something by G.K. Chesterton. He said this, "I never discuss anything except politics and religion. There's nothing else to discuss." That's quite a different approach from what we have today, even amongst Christian church-going men. It reminds me of a conversation I had recently, just a week ago, with a friend at church. He shared a video clip with a group of men via text titled "A Pastoral Perspective on Politics" by Johnny Ardvanis. And I would encourage you guys, Google that sometime. "A Pastoral Perspective on Politics" by Johnny Ardvanis. It's a 5-minute, really solid clip. So my friend shared this with a group of guys in a text. However, no one in our text group even responded to it, except me. And so I text this guy back privately, and I thanked him for sharing the video clip, and I kind of apologized for the lack of any kind of response from the other men. And so he responded back to me with this, "Adam, I think what dominates the Christian community right now, and especially even church leadership, sadly, is the fear of man. Men who cater to the feelings of other people for the sake of their reputation and feelings. But frankly, just like you said on your podcast a couple weeks ago, titled Don't Be a Pam, we all have a little bit of Pam inside of us. That's the passive aggressive male. So even the best of us men can still have a fear of man problem. And maybe that's a self-preservation attitude that keeps us from speaking boldly to one another and sharing our thoughts." My friend couldn't be more spot on. And so I'm just going to be really honest and direct with you. Right now, the Democratic Party and platform is built on so many things that God hates. I'm not endorsing any particular candidate, but let me just list a couple of things to you that are very biblically obvious. The continuous murder of millions of innocent lives inside the womb is evil. The mutilation and exploitation of children who are confused about their identity, their gender, and their sexuality, that's evil. The weakening of our national borders and the neglect of the security and safety of our own citizens is evil. The irresponsibility with our national finances, the continuous increase of government spending, in the increase of our national debt at the expense of our own citizens is wrong. And the blatant immoral disregard of the sanctity of marriage and sexuality as clearly defined by God in the Bible and throughout church history, this agenda directed by the LGBTQIA+++ movement, that's evil. And so while there are no perfect candidates in this election, they're both broken people, there is a clear choice. We as Christians have an obvious obligation to vote for candidates and for policies that best stem the tide of evil. The conservative platform, at least right now, better upholds the values of life and family than the other option. And to not vote, or even to completely avoid talking about politics altogether, is not only a negligence of our biblical responsibilities as Christian men, it's also a slap in the face to many men and women who gave their lives to defend the freedoms we have in this country, the freedom of speech. It's also a failure to obey the calling to uphold righteousness in our land. You don't have to like the personality of a particular candidate. You just have to vote for the better option. And right now, that's the party of common sense. And by the way, vote in Latin means to make a choice. You're not voting for a pastor or for a priest. You're not voting for a spouse. you're voting for the best option to uphold righteousness in our land. God's not silent on his hierarchy of values. A quick glance at the Bible should make that really obvious. Your vote should match those values. Like 1 Peter 2:14 says, restrain evil, promote good. And so I also want to make this clear too, though. Our hope isn't in a political candidate or a party. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And whoever's in the White House is far less important than who's on the throne in heaven. The cry of the early church was heavily persecuted, by the way. The cry of the early church was, Jesus is Lord. And this came directly from the Roman saying, Caesar is Lord. We have manuscripts that testify to the martyrdom of early Christians in the Roman Empire. In some cases, all they needed to do was say, Caesar is Lord, to prevent themselves from being executed. But instead, they claimed, Jesus is Lord. They were willing to go to death over that statement. I pray that we would have a fraction of that boldness in the American church today. So the advancement of the gospel isn't reliant on a U.S. president. And we should agree with many of the Psalms that God is sovereign over the nations. As Christian men, our priority is obedience to the scriptures, no matter who's in political power. And a quick word on love. We can hate evil, and we should, but we must love the person. And some people think in order to love the person, you need to not say anything against their beliefs or practices. I think that's wrong. You can pray for your enemies. You can bless those who persecute you. You can honor those in power over you as much as they are in line with God's word. You can minister to those who are trapped in immorality and sin and godlessness while continuing to uphold the Bible's clear commands about the protection and preservation of things like life from womb to tomb, marriage, family, gender, sexuality. You should also vote to uphold the Bible's clear commands about financial stewardship and responsibility and avoiding debt. So while participating in the political process, we should, as Christians, be more outspoken about our love for Jesus and our neighbor than we are about our support for a particular candidate. We should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, right? Because we are ultimately the salt and light of the world, like Jesus said in Matthew 5. The thing about salt, though, I think a lot of Christians today, we want to be sugar instead of salt. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, you're the salt of the earth. Salt preserves things from corruption. So let's preserve our country from further corruption. And light changes the environment that it's in by dispelling the darkness and bringing warmth. So let's dispel darkness and bring warmth to those whose hearts are cold. Be salt. Be light. Participate in the political process. Have conversations with other guys about what candidate would better uphold biblical values, and vote in a way that honors what the Bible commands. And pray for all political leaders. Love your neighbors. Speak the truth boldly. And trust that no matter what the outcome of this or any election is, we know that Christ is still risen. He still sits on the throne as Lord and King. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Let's not be afraid to talk about all these things. And let's make sure to participate in this political process, these opportunities that we have to vote. And let's vote in a way that's in line with what the scripture clearly commands.